Take your Bible, if you will, please, and I want you to turn to Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter 4. Once you find Matthew chapter 4, please find verse number 23. Matthew chapter 4. I want you to find verse number 23, and then would you stand with me, please, out of reverence to the Word of God. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. I'll read out loud. Again, you can follow along silently. Matthew chapter 4. Verse number 23, the Bible says this, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him a great multitude of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan." And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Help us as we talk about this important subject of the great need in America. Now, Father, we sure love this land that you've given us. Help us to love it and respect it, but help it to love and respect you. Bless us tonight with thy Holy Spirit's presence, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. Listen, if you will. America the beautiful, home of the brave and free, is threatened by an evil that we don't seem to see. We are one nation under God, guided by his loving light. But we'll be a nation without God if we don't stand up and fight. We, the vast majority, must join hand in hand before the small minority takes God's name completely out of our land. No matter our region, we have a job to do. We must band together to defeat the ungodly few. God gave us freedom in this land to worship and to pray. How can we idly just sit by and watch it be taken away? There is a God in heaven. Let's not let his light go dim. But how can he bless us from above if we won't acknowledge him? Here in Matthew chapter 4, we see a passage of Scripture speaking about Jesus Christ. Before I get into that passage, let me tell you this. Our country the people of our country have lost confidence to some degree in our country. A patriotism that used to exist, it has become a bit anemic. Yes, used to, you didn't have a hard time getting people to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. When we sang the national anthem, everybody wanted to take part, and proudly, and without reservation. We began to lose confidence in our own country. In the passage of Scripture that we read earlier, it's about Jesus. The Bible says that he went about to all of Galilee. What was he doing? He was teaching, he was preaching, he was healing, he was helping. And great multitudes followed him. They followed him from Galilee, they followed him from Decapolis, they followed him from Jerusalem and Judea. The Bible said they would follow him from beyond Jordan, and his fame spread throughout all of Syria. Jesus was the greatest leader ever. The Bible teaches us about his leadership, and it actually teaches us about how to be the kinds of leaders that God would have us to be. The Bible is the best leadership manual in existence. I think the Bible is the best fellowship manual in existence. But when you see Jesus, it was amazing. He had great multitudes that followed him. It tells us in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 and 36, it said the multitudes followed him. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 28, all the way through chapter 8, verse 1, it actually uses the word a great multitude followed him. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 13, 14, and 15, it uses the term a great multitude again, all in reference to following this Jesus, the ultimate leader. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 1 and 2, the words great multitude are used again. In Mark chapter 2, it says, for there were many, and they followed him. In Mark 5, verse 23 and 24, it says, much people followed him. And in John chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, it says, a great multitude followed him. Why? Why did they follow him? And so you know, he did not force them to follow. You will not intimidate people into proper fellowship. It does not work that way. They followed him, but it was not a force-fed, if you will, fellowship. Why did they follow him? I'll tell you why. Jesus knew something that they didn't know, and they wanted to know it. You say, well, what is that? Well, of course, the Bible, he was the walking word of God. He had a knowledge that was incredible, and they wanted to know what he knew. But not only that, Jesus had something that they didn't have, and they wanted to have it. You think about what Jesus did while he was here. His ability to pray and get answers. I mean, let's all face it. If Jesus were here and he prayed and he asked for something and he got it immediately, I'm going to guess I'd be following this guy around to figure out his prayer technique. See, he had something that they didn't have, and they wanted to have it. His spiritual abilities. He knew something that they did not know, and they wanted to know it. He was the walking Word of God. Now, Jesus had done something that they had not done, and they wanted to be able to do it. You know, the Bible says in John 14:12 about Jesus, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. His works drew the followers. You say, why was there a great multitude? Because he knew something they wanted to know. He had something they wanted to have. He did things that they wanted to do. But not only that, they followed him because Jesus knew somebody. And he knew that somebody well. And they did not know that somebody like that. And they wanted to know that somebody well as just as well. And you say, who was that? Oh, he knew God. He knew God, and they knew he knew God. And they said, we don't know God like you know God. So the multitudes flocked to him because they wanted to know God. So he knew something they did not know. He had something they did not have. He had done something they had not done. He knew somebody that they did not know well. And by the way, Jesus was going somewhere. And he was going that somewhere on purpose, and they wanted to have a cause and a purpose like he had a cause and a purpose. They wanted to follow someone that had eternity in view. So if you ever wonder, why did the multitudes flock to him? Why were there great multitudes? It's because he knew something that they did not know. He had something that they did not have. He had done something that they had not done. He knew someone that they didn't really know well, and he was going somewhere and had a purpose that they did not have, and they said, we want to be around him, and we want him to lead us. See, those qualities produce followers. And then followers become leaders. Now, I've seen some of those qualities. Not many days ago, I believe, in one of my college courses, I talked about those qualities. But let me tell you this. I've seen those qualities in some human leaders. If you'll let me, I'm going to refer to them for just a few minutes. I told you that Jesus knew something that they did not know, and they wanted to know it. Well, one of the great men in the history of the Independent Fundamental Baptist movement is a man by the name of Oliver B. Green. The letter B, his middle name was Boyce. Oliver Boyce Green. Many of you have heard of him. Still, you'll hear his radio broadcast, The Gospel Hour. And Oliver B. Green, he knew the Bible. And he had a following. And you know, to this very day, he has following. Boy, when I hear Oliver B. Green's voice on the radio, I want to listen. Why? He knew something. He had that quality. He knew something that I don't know, and I wanted to follow after that because I wanted to learn what he knew. then, Jesus had something that others did not have. And they wanted it. That's why they followed. There's a man by the name of John R. Rice. The R in the middle is Richard, John Richard Rice. Dr. Rice had something many other people did not have. Dr. Rice, he had an ability to pray that was incredible. One of his most famous books, if maybe not his most famous book, was Prayer, Asking and Receiving. You can read stories about the great Dr. John R. Rice. There's a story about him preaching at a meeting, and it was raining so hard that they could not hear to get their meeting underway. And Dr. Rice bowed his head in front of the entire congregation and asked God to stop the rain, and within moments the rain stopped. If I did that, it'd probably start thundering and lightning, and we'd have a hurricane. But Dr. Rice, he had something that others did not have. And Dr. Rice founded the Sword of the Lord newspaper and the Sword of the Lord conferences of many years. You see, Dr. Oliver B. Green, he knew something that others did not know, so they were attracted to him. And Dr. John R. Rice, he had something. He had that ability to pray that others may not have had, and it attracted people toward him. Dr. Jack Hiles, he had done something others had not done. He did a great work for God. You wouldn't have to go far to find someone that knows that he built the world's largest Sunday school just outside of Chicago. Church attendances of over 20,000 people for multiple years. And people would flock to hear him and flock to go and see it. Why? He had done something that others had not done. Lester Roloff was an incredible man. Again, if you listen to the right kind of a Christian radio station, you'll find that he has a radio program that is still aired. It's called the Family Altar Program. And what a distinct voice. When you hear Lester Roloff, you know that's Lester Roloff. And Brother Roloff was an incredible man. See, if you remember correctly, Jesus, he knew something that others did not know. He had something that others did not have. He had done something that others had not done. And Jesus knew somebody. And I'll tell you this. If you ever listened to Brother Roloff much, you knew Brother Roloff knew God. Even when you hear his recordings today, he kind of felt, it almost seemed like he was on first name terms with God. There was a personableness between him and God. And it just incredible. He knew God like few knew God in his generation. Again, he had a radio broadcast called the Family Altar Program. And then he founded a series of homes for men, for women, for teenagers called the Roloff Homes, where he would take people that were folks that had been through the tough times of life, whether it be alcohol or drugs or rebellion, and they would go to the Roloff Homes and they'd help to reestablish their life, get them saved, and change their life. But I'll tell you what, Lester Roloff was a spiritual powerhouse. But he knew God like few knew God. Brother Hiles had built a work like few had built. Oliver Green knew the Bible like very few people knew the Bible. John Rice knew how to pray like very few people knew how to pray. And as a result of it, most of you that have been around fundamental Baptist churches, you've heard these names. You say, why? Well, for the same reason people had a certain attraction to Christ, I think leaders in that generation or any generation, there's an attraction to that. Jesus was going somewhere. And people needed somebody that was going somewhere. They had a purpose. They had a cause. I happen to believe Jesus, of course, had eternity in view. I was speaking with one of our men at the powder burn the other night, the men's activity, and we got to talking about Dr. Carl Hatch. How many of you have ever heard the name Dr. Carl Hatch? Dr. Carl Hatch, I call him Mr. Soul Winner. Dr. Carl Hatch loved the souls of men. What an incredible man. But I promise you, if you got around Carl Hatch, you could be, if you were in a public place and the two of you were talking, he could in a moment ignore you to go after a lost soul. I mean, you'd be in the midst of a conversation. He'll walk away from you like a dog on the trail of a hamburger. And that fella, he was on it. And Brother Hatch is over there witnessing, and you're still talking. You don't even know he left you. I'll never forget. Dr. Hatch and I, we were at an airport together one day, and I'm not trying to be uncouth, but he carried tracts everywhere he went, gospel tracts. If you're ever set on a platform preaching with him, when I left the hotel room, I always stuck gospel tracts in my pocket no matter what. You say, why? If you're sitting on the platform and he was preaching, he would stop. He'd say, you're the man of God if you don't have a gospel tract in your pocket. You got one, Brother Owens? Only happens to you one time. It only happens to you one time. You never preach with Carl Hatch without gospel tracts in your pocket. Man, and if he calls on you, every other man on the platform is going, give me a track. Give me a track. We were at the airport one time, and again, I'm not trying to be uncouth, but Mr. Soul Winner, he had eternity in view. He was consumed with winning people to Christ. And we had kind of wandered away from each other, and I went down to the men's restroom. And I kid you not, Dr. Hatch, it was a big airport, and there was stall after stall after stall. All the doors were closed. Brother Hatch was going to every door, knocking on the stall door, handing a gospel tract underneath, saying, little reading material, little reading material, stall after stall after stall. He was consumed with the fact that there's an eternity. He and I preached together in Shreveport, Louisiana, many years ago. We had 600 people saved in one service. You say that's impossible. No, they turned a public school over to us, and they gave us the entire school. And we had a 2-hour revival service, had 600 people get saved. But Brother Hatch was just consumed with the souls of men. You know what's wrong with our country? We have such weak leadership. True blue scriptural leadership is almost unheard of among what we call the leaders of our country. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but we hesitate to vote for anybody. To be honest, we don't vote for what we want. We vote for what we don't want. And I'm not throwing anybody under the bus. I'm just telling you the truth. My, we need some scriptural leadership in our country again. Our Senate seems to have a famine of leadership, and they're more interested in their politics than the good of our country. The House of Representatives, the same way. America is starved for leadership, and the right kind of leadership. You say, well, what kind of leadership? Jesus-type leadership. Someone who knows something. Someone who has something. Someone that's done something. Someone that knows the right people. Someone that's going somewhere, and that somewhere is scriptural and it's right. But I happen to believe even what we would call the fundamental Baptist, if you will, movement or whatever you want to call it. It's not a denomination, but there is a camaraderie among fundamental Baptist churches. We're even starved for the right kind of leadership. Stay with me for just a few more minutes. What I see is I see Jesus in the quality of leader that he was and is. You don't see that so much anymore. But I mentioned every one of those names, and most of you that have been around fundamentalism, even some of the teenagers and children say, oh, I know that guy, I know that. You just don't find much of that anymore. But that's what our country needs. Our country needs the right kind of spiritual leadership. Now, if I may, let me take just a few more minutes. Let me say, number one, America needs to turn back to God. America needs to turn back to God. Isaiah 45, verse 22, God said, look unto me. Now, there is what America needs. We need America to look back to God. The leadership in America is it's I'll be honest with you, the leadership in America is quite anemic. You don't find many leaders in America that stand for what they believe unwavering. It's just not like that anymore. Jesus was the ultimate leader. And I think the answer for the lack of confidence in America is the right kind of spiritual leadership. You know something? You can count on Jesus. He won't change what he stands for any reason. When we watch the leadership in our country, they waver. They believe one thing now, something else later. Thank God that we have a God, and thank God that we have a book that does not change. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. You know, Jesus, he'll never let us down. I believe that America needs to turn back to God. And that we have to be careful. I think you watch the news and, you get politically involved and, your emotions are going to be all over the place. Could I tell you something? The answer for our country is not going to be in who we elect as a president. I think it's important who we elect, but it is not the answer for our country. The answer for our country is Jesus Christ and turning America back to God. That's the great need in America. America needs to turn back to God. Secondly, let me tell you this. I think this is a perfect time for soul winning and church building in Jesus. You say, why? Because it's always a good time for Jesus. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. You know, there are people who actually say, this is the worst time ever to get people saved. This is the worst time ever to want to have revival in a church. I disagree. You say, why? Because I think we have the answer, and I think there are a lot of people out there searching. There is a tremendous lack of confidence in our country. You know what? People do not know where to put their faith. Now, I don't know a lot about many things, but I can tell you this. We have something that you can put your faith in, somebody that's been somewhere, that's done something, that stands for something. And what we need to do is spread the word about Jesus Christ, because he is still the ultimate leader. He can give us the confidence we need. He can give us a purpose in life. And some say, well, in this political atmosphere, our the church building and winning souls, it seems to be impossible. That is not true. That is the lie of the devil, because the people out there, they don't know where to put their faith. Well, I've got good news for them. We have a Savior. He is worthy of our faith. He won't let us down. He'll take us all the way through to the end, and we will be victors. We will win. We will be on the winning side. You see, we need America to turn back to God. And we need to be convinced this is as good a time as any for soul winning and church building and helping people. Let's strike while the iron's hot. You understand how unstable everybody is out there? They don't know where to put their weight down. They don't know what they can trust. Well, you can trust Jesus. Amen. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And you've heard me say this before, but it's worth saying again. People say, it is so nasty today, and it is so vile, and it's so sinful. It's terrible. Did you know that the Bible teaches us where sin did abound, did grace much more abound? So as the devil is abounding in sin, the grace of God is powerful enough to abound to that degree. And so I think it's as good a time as any for revival. I think it's as good a time as any for us to spread our faith. Hey, I think we ought to get people into church, and I'll tell you why. I think people out there in the world are starved for security. They're scared to death. What are these other nations going to do? Let me tell you something. What political party you're a part of is not going to protect you if another nation comes and tries to destroy our country. You're going to need the protection of the mighty King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You better make sure you're on Jesus' side if it ever comes down. That's where the security is. People are searching for something. Now's a good time to tell them what we found. How would we stay calm in a terrible situation? Great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing will offend them. So America needs to turn back to God. And I believe this is a perfect time for soul winning and church building and spreading Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you how we can help, though, a little further than that. Thirdly, I think churches and church leaders and church people need to provide the answers for which people are seeking. Can I tell you that there are certain things that are just always stabilizing? I think our country's a bit confused. It's unstable. We've lost our confidence. We're virtually losing our confidence in our country. So what do we do? Well, I think we ought to provide the answers. I think we ought to provide the stability. In John 14:6, Jesus said, get this, I'm the way. This society says, I'm confused, what do I do? Jesus said, I'm the way. Amen. What's coming in the future? Jesus says, I'm the way. You say, that's too simple. No, you make it too complicated. Yes, sir. I'm the way. Now, I think we could do this. I think you and I, as Christians, to the best of our ability, I think we ought to add to our society confidence, direction, stability, insight, cause, leadership, success. We need to add those things to this current society. I think we should provide confidence. Look, all you have to do is go out there and live the truth. Let people know God's not asleep and God's not dead. God knows our situation. Obey His word and all will be well. We have the word of God. Everything's going to be fine. Folks, don't panic like the world. Don't live an aimless, uncommitted, unstable life. You say, I've lost my confidence too. Okay, you go ahead and lose your confidence in whatever you want, but don't lose your confidence in Jesus. What do? You and I are to provide confidence in our society. When they look at us and say, wow, you're stable. Right. Why? I'm glad you asked. I'm born again Christian. I'm stable. We're to provide that to our society. I don't think it's just confidence. I think we provide direction. But hey, stay in church. Stay with the old time religion. Keep working hard. Keep moving forward. You say, why? For some reason, when we as Christians, we keep our direction, it will help stabilize other people. Isn't it wonderful when you get around somebody that's got a direction and they're stable? You know what it'll do for you? It'll calm you down. We can help society by keeping our eyes on Jesus, keep our confidence in God, keep our direction for God. It just contributes to society's, if you will, normalcy. But not only that, the stability, we should provide it. Don't panic. Don't run. Did you know you and God make a majority? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Keep a stability. Hey, when you say, well, I watched the news and all this happened, what's going to happen? I can tell you what's going to happen. Jesus is coming again and we're all going to be in heaven someday. And this will all be behind us. That's part of our hope. That's how we stay stable in an unstable world. That's how we stay confident while the world's freaked out. I think we should provide insight. The way we live. Hey, you know what you need to do? When everybody around you is panicking, here's what you need to say. It'll be okay. I spend my life saying that. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. Well, what makes you so sure, preacher? God told me it's going to be okay. We belong to Him. Did you know nothing's going to happen to me or you without it going through the approval process of God? And God loves us. God's going to provide for us. He's going to meet our needs. It'll be okay. I just know it's going to be okay. Jesus is coming again. And until then, He will watch out for us. But our society needs some Christians that have the confidence to say, it's going to be all right. And they say, well, what's coming next? What a great opportunity. What's coming next? Well, you might want to let them know Jesus is coming again. If they don't get saved, they're going to get left behind. They think there's chaos now. Better get in. Because while the getting's good, you get in. If not, you're going to wish you got in later on after the Christians are taken off this earth. But look, you and I, we're to provide insight in the way we live. We're to provide a stability, a direction, a confidence. I believe this. I think when a country or when a people are causeless, they're just blown all over the place. Look, you and I, we have a cause. You say, why do we keep going? Why should we contribute to society the way you're talking about? Because there's a lost and dying world out there that needs to get born again. We have a cause. We have a cause in our children. You know what? We want to keep this nation as close to God for as long as we can for the sake of our children, for the sake of our grandchildren. We want to keep this country as strong as we can for God as long as we can for the generations to follow. We have a cause. So many people in the world, they don't have a cause. Ours is an eternal cause. And can I tell you something? A cause stabilizes a person. If you're frantic about everything all the time, you might want to just make sure that you got your eyes on your cause. Let's provide stable insight. Let's provide confidence. Let's provide direction, that stability. I think that we ought to provide the best that we can, sincere, trustworthy leadership. Can I tell you all something? This world is sick of weak, wishy-washy leadership. Wouldn't it be nice if you could go to work somewhere and the leader was a predictable, stable, honest, pure, just, kind leader? Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be nice just to have a decent leader? Now, you may not get to run the nation, but if you lead somebody, give them sincere, stable leadership. It helps the whole society. Boy, you can go down and sit with a bunch of men that are getting all their tires changed down at the Goodyear or wherever, and you'll hear someone say, well, my boss is a jerk, or my boss is this, my boss is that. It always shocks them when somebody says, my boss is a good, decent man, I love working for him. Everybody goes, what? That exists? Let me tell you something, it ought to exist. If you're a born-again Christian and you have any type of leadership, people should not have lost their total confidence in all leadership. There ought to be some leadership out there that's decent. You say, but there's only a few. Hey, all we can do is our part. I think we should provide success. You know, everywhere you go, everything is weak and everything is unstable and nobody's succeeding. Look, folks. Let people know where there is success. We can get this impression that the sky is falling. The sky is falling. I don't think we ought to be like that. I never want to dampen another pastor's excitement. But I will tell you this. I'm not afraid to tell people that our church is doing well. I'm not afraid to tell people that there's a unity here. I'm not afraid to tell people there's a revival-like spirit here. I'm not afraid to tell people. We had all sorts of people say, I'm not afraid to tell people. And God knows, I'm sincere about it. I'm not trying to brag on me. I just think people need to know God's alive and God's not dead and God can still do it and God's for it and it's possible. But you got so many people that are just throwing in the towel saying, this whole mess is just ruining everything. There are people losing their hope. We shouldn't be that way. And you and I as Christians, we ought to be pumping confidence and direction and stability and insight and cause and leadership and success. We ought to be spreading that. Why? That's what Jesus was. And that is who you're supposed to be like. He's our ultimate role model. What does America need? Well, America needs Jesus. What does America need? America needs me and you to act like Jesus. He was a great, great influencer. And we might not be leading our country, but we can live right. And we can use the qualities that our Savior that we're exposed to because of his teaching. And I think you can create hope around you. I love going and visiting a church. I'll get in and so many pastors are downhearted, kind of given up. virtually under the belief is, you know, we're never going to get this thing going. It's never going to happen. I love leaving, and on the way back to the airport, he'll say, I am excited. I think I got a few things that are going to help me to get this thing going. I love that because there's enough of the naysayers. Look, we're saved. We have a success in Christ Jesus. Let's keep pushing forward. The great need of America, it's Jesus and people that will live and lead like Him.